Welcome to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith. Join Jaguars General Manager Gene Smith and your host Cole Pepper as they break down the last Jaguars game and look at the next time the Jaguars take the field. We'll also take a dip inside the Gene Pool to see what makes a player stand out at his position. Jaguars Monday with Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Sonny's Barbecue, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith begins right now.
And we welcome you in here on a Monday night following the Jaguars' 41-14 victory over the Bucks yesterday at a gray and sometimes rainy Everbank Field. Cole Pepper here and pleased to be joined, I think, for the first time this year. Right? Isn't that right? First time this year?
Did it about four times last year, but first time this year.
Terry McDonough, the Jaguars' director of player personnel, is in. Gene is traveling to some league meetings and so forth. He's going to Dallas, but I don't think he's going to be asked to weigh in on the ownership situation. But some other league things going on out there.
Yeah, this is the yearly league meetings they have out in Dallas, and typically out of 10. But he knew how important this show was, and so he decided to have me fill in for him tonight.
And decided to make sure there was a win yesterday you could talk about, which was nice.
Yeah, we'll one thing, if we lose, I can't do it. So.
He won't let you.
No, he wants to be on here when we lose.
That's right. He does. He stands in front of the firing squad. Well, as we usually do when win or lose, we'll look at some positives. We'll look at some negatives, look at the key play. Of course, we'll have the Scouts Eye Unsung Player, who Terry gets to pick this week. And we'll also take a dip in the Gene Pool, look at the cornerbacks coming up here. But big picture, 30,000-foot view here. That was a lot of fun yesterday for a team that hadn't had a lot of fun in a while.
Yeah, it felt like a playoff atmosphere. It was great to get the win from Mel and the team. And Mel's an excellent football coach. He's been through a lot here, physically especially this year with the torn tendon. Yeah. He's really put his heart and soul into this team as long as he's been here, and it was great to get a win for him and for the players and for Mr. Weaver. Mr. Weaver was excited yesterday in the locker room. And so it was a true team effort, offense, defense, special teams.
Well, and you mentioned that first time since 1998 – when the Jaguars did it to the Ravens, that the team had scored on all three phases, offense, defense, and special teams. It doesn't happen very often, and I think I tweeted this. Is that the football version of a natural hat trick? I mean, you get all three ways to score, and it was, just came bang, bang, bang. It one of those situations sometimes when it rains, it pours.
Literally, and after the first quarter, we said, we are overdue for something good to happen. And then Montel went down and made the big special teams hit, and we rolled from there, but a lot of character on this team, and they showed it yesterday.
We talked about that before the game. I've covered, this is the 19th NFL season I've covered, I believe, and I've covered a lot of teams that have not won that would have packed it in or that had packed it in, or you start seeing guys get selfish or take shortcuts or what have you. Veterans suddenly get a undiagnosable hamstring injury that keeps them out the rest of the year because they just don't want to risk an injury on a team that's not going anywhere. This team hasn't done that. I mean, with all the injuries and everything else, this has been a pretty tight-knit group. And we saw it in 2007 when they won. That was a real tight-knit group. But to be a tight-knit group when you lose and you have a losing record, it says something about the makeup of the guys in the locker room.
Yeah, we have a lot of veteran leadership here, and they're playing hard for Mel and for his staff. They're putting it on the line. It was fun to watch the tape today. Don't know how the rest of the season is going to go, but I know they'll play hard.
All right, Maurice Drew, we can talk about him in the positives category every week. 136 total yards, 4 touchdowns. He now has 73 career touchdowns in 90 games. I wonder if you can, in short order, give a short assessment of what you think of Maurice as a player. I mean, I know all weekend it's been the superlatives, but he's a special guy.
I had the ability to be around Ray Lewis when we drafted him when I was with Baltimore before I came here. And I'd say probably in my 20 years in the league, the two players that had the most competitive, the biggest competitive nature, the biggest heart that I've ever been around would be probably Ray Lewis and Maurice. They're on a scale from 1 to 10, they're both 10s. And he's just a powerful, quick, explosive, competitive. Every single play he wants to win. Whether over the last, I don't know how many years he's been here, we drafted him. You can help me with that, Joe, what year we drafted him. I know it was
Same year as Mercedes, so 2004, yeah. Right? 2000, is that right? 2004, yeah.
Well, what I'm trying to say is every time if there's a, you go back over the years, if there's a fumble or an interception, he's the one going over to make the tackle. It's not just running. He's an exceptional blocker, catcher. Guy's a phenomenal competitor. Great football player.
Yeah, he just, none of those touchdowns, by the way, were easy, right? Those were not, the hole opens up, the Red Sea parts, and he runs. There was contact on all of those, and I think maybe the most impressive one was the throw that Blaine made in the end of the two-minute drive to him in the right near the right sideline, and he had to basically twist his body around 180 degrees to get the ball in a position where he could hit the pylon with it. I mean, the kind of effort that he put in on that one is it didn't look like much for folks, but it was.
Well, he's so strong. He's so powerfully built, and he has a center of gravity, and his will, again, is phenomenal. So that was actually a nice tackle by the defensive back. Typically, he'll run, but Maurice was turning around, so he lost a little bit of his leverage. But there was no question he was going to get in the end zone. You know, people don't realize how powerful he is. He's quick. He's explosive, but he gets so low to the ground. People, they have the scouting report on him. Not a lot of defensive backs want to tackle him.
You know, the 90 games to get 73 touchdowns, do what Fred Taylor did in 140 games. And Fred's a great player, was a great player. But it just shows the kind of productivity he's had. So that's on the offensive side. We'll talk about the quarterback here in just a minute. But 7 takeaways as a team. That's a Jaguars record. 2 of them came on special teams, thanks to Montel Owens forcing a couple of turnovers. Not only were there takeaways, but they were takeaways that led to something more often than not.
Yeah, once Montel, that fumble occurred, it was just a snowball effect. We needed something good to happen. As I said earlier, it happened. Montel, in my view, watching all the special teams tape around the league, guys we play, other opponents, he's been the best special teamer in the NFL as far as coverage special teamer over the last few years. Obviously, he went to the Pro Bowl a year ago, and that's what you expect out of your big-time playmakers, to make a play like that to spark you. And again, he's another 10 competitor.
Yeah, you talk about
phenomenal heart.
Special teams often overlooked in terms of the impact it can have on the game, unless something goes wrong and you go, oh, how could that happen? But when something goes right on special teams, it makes a difference, and it did certainly twice yesterday. Nate Collins, this was a surprising stat. Nate Collins became just the second Jaguar defensive lineman to score a touchdown in franchise history. Tony Brackens was the other one. Brackens did it in the regular season anyway it tipped interception against Seattle on a Sunday night game, I think, back in about 96. He also scored, of course, against Miami in the playoffs in the 62-7 game. But Nate Collins now has etched himself in Jaguars history.
Nate's done a good job. You know, our backup, we've been so banged up on the defensive line. A lot of the backups we've had have played well. You know, Collins, Dusable, you go on and on. We've had so many injuries up front that the guys that have filled in have played really well for us. So there hasn't been a huge drop-off. We've had a lot of injuries, as you know, up front.
All right, let's talk about Blaine Gabbert. He has come under some fire this year as a rookie quarterback, and I don't remember a rookie quarterback who hasn't, but 19 for 33 yesterday, 217 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I thought his best game of the year, and it's the kind of game where guys were largely catching the football that you'd sit there and say, all right, you know what? He looks like a rookie quarterback, looks like a young quarterback with a lot of talent who has a huge upside, but the question is, you could just tell some of the things he did. I think maybe forcing a little bit in the end zone on the interception. He's still young, but that's what you get when you have a rookie quarterback. But, boy, you see some of the upside. That 62-yard pass to Mercedes Lewis, just a laser beam down the middle, some of the passes on the outs. I thought his best game of the year. Do you agree?
Yes. I won't say by far, but there was improvement. And it was fun to watch, especially going down 14-0. Fans were getting a little restless. And one thing about Blaine is he never stops competing. He's got a great will. The players respond to him in the locker room. He has a lot of leadership, and he's going to get better and better as we go on.
The two-minute drill. After the game, Eugene Monroe sat right over here and told us that that's something they'd really concentrated on the last couple of weeks in practice, and it paid some dividends.
Well, Mel Tucker is an attention-to-detail coach. And he is going to go over it and over it and over it. He learned under Nick Saban when he was a young coach, and he also learned under Jim Tressel, and they're both attention to detail guys. So if there's an area, a lot of those areas need attention to detail, and Mel's going to cover all that over and over again until they get it right.
And then two-minute drill is a great detail thing. A couple other quick things quickly. Dewan Harris had a nice run. Mel mentioned last week that he's been given the defense fits during the running scout team, and I thought showed good vision, balance, and a little power right at the end.
Yeah, I know the fans saw him in preseason, and he had a nice preseason for us, and they were kind of clamoring for him to get some snaps. So he's worked hard all year. He's earned the right. He had the opportunity yesterday, and that was an outstanding run. When you watch that run, it's three or four different parts of that run from beginning to end that were all, wow, that's good, the cut, the vision, the balance, the strength. He tried to finish it off at the end, so excellent run. And, he's earned his participation, and I expect him to play a lot more down the stretch.
Among the guys who made some plays yesterday, Ashton Yabodi, Chasten West, Morgan Trent, and Akwasi Owosu-Ansa. Thank you. Thank you very much. I noticed I put that last so I could work my way into it. These are guys that a month ago weren't on this team.
Yeah, we're at the max on injury reserve, 19 or 20, and there's a lot of guys, new faces around here. It's just one of those fluke things. Some years there are a lot, some years you don't. And we've been decimated, especially from midseason on. It started steaming. We were relatively healthy early, but we went down with Rasheen and Derek, and then just it started rolling downhill. And these guys have stepped in and played well. All those guys you mentioned actually did something yesterday to help.
Colin Clowerty is another guy who just got moved up on Friday from the practice squad.
Ivy Leaguer. And
yeah. From Brown.
It's an interesting story. His agent, young agent from Boston, called one of our guys and said, hey, I'm going to come up to the game. He got there and scored a touchdown for him.
That's the way to do it. All right. Remember, you can get your picks in on Twitter, on the Scouts Eye. If you have a question or comment you'd like to get, the best ones will get on the air. You can tweet it to me at Cole Pepper. Also online at Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. Monday, December 19th. That's a week from today. RPM Automotive at 9148 Phillips Highway near the Avenues invites you to join them for Cookies with the Jaguars rookies, noon till 2. They'll be signing autographs, sharing cookies, and giving you a chance to win an autographed football and club seats to the Jaguars-Colts game on New Year's Day. We'll have an injury report for you coming up as well. More Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, with Terry McDonough, coming up right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio.
Gabbert with a hard count, looks at the defense, takes the snap, steps into the pocket with some time, plants, turns, throws, he's got Maurice, touchdown Jacksonville, Maurice Jones-Drew!
That's a franchise record, 71 career touchdown for Maurice Jones-Drew, and this one is a perfect example of the type of player he is because he catches it and he's not in the end zone and it's just sheer will and determination to get that ball across the pylon.
And a nice throw right there into that corner. The quarterback really came through.
One of four Maurice Jones-Drew touchdowns yesterday in the Jaguars' 41-14 victory over the Buccaneers. Welcome back, Jaguars Monday. Gene Smith is traveling today. Terry McDonough's in here with us. Injury update now brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville's Circle of Care. Mike Thomas left the game with a concussion. Cecil Shorts with a hamstring. Chris Przinski with a thumb. He came back and had it wrapped up. Looked like a Wyoming cowboy with the got a one hand in the Bronco in there a couple of times. Josh Scobie strained his groin and then didn't kick the last extra point of kickoff. We'll talk about Russell Allen's kickoff abilities here in just a minute. Matt Roth still with a concussion. And Dwight Lowry day-to-day, according to Mel Tucker today. And you mentioned there have been 25 players placed on the injured reserve list and throughout the course of the year. That's the most in the National Football League. Jaguars are certainly dealing with the injuries for sure. That's the injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville's Circle of Care. All right, continue getting your oh, by the way, Harry Morgan just died last week. Speaking of Matt, played the MASH theme there.
Colonel Potter.
That's was in like 93, I think. Great show. All right, so get your Scouts Eye picks in here. You can, again, to Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars or to Twitter. You can tweet it to me, at Cole Pepper. All right. There were some – this was not all roses and marshmallows for the Jaguars yesterday. A couple of things. Not getting a lot done in the return game right now, Terry. What's happening there and what can be done?
In punt return or kick return or both?
Kick return especially, but punt return also.
you know, we've had success here in the past, obviously, in both those phases. But, you know, we've had some injuries. Mm-hmm. And Deji was, you know, probably wish he could have been a little more effective in that aspect of it. And you know, every year he's been in there in preseason, he's done a great job for us. And it's carried over a little bit in regular season. But I would look for Dwan Harris to get some more opportunities maybe. Mm. And, you know, Cecil was back there, but his hamstrings tightened up a little bit. So I don't think he's full go there. So it's just it's been a revolving door. We haven't really found the one guy. Mike Thomas has done a nice job in years past returning punts, but there hasn't been that one special team guy that can do both or do one that, you know, blow the doors off.
A lot of times people will say, all right, that return guy isn't any good because he's getting it done, or that guy's there's more than just the returner that's part of that thing. I mean, it's also, you mentioned the injuries, and I don't know how many of those were playing key roles on special teams in terms of blocking for those guys, but not having some consistency can't help that.
Well, I think if you look at the entire league this year, kick returns, I mean, how many guys have actually had an opportunity to return kicks? So that part of it, the kickoff return,
right,
has been, I won't say eliminated, but it's been definitely hampered a bit.
Yep.
Now, punt return's another situation. We had Jared Dillard in there catching punts yesterday. And you know he's going to secure it. And Mike went out with the concussion. But, you know, Mike can do it. He's done it in the past, and he's been effective doing it. But we have not had the pop that we've had in the past years in the return game.
And yet people still decide to kick to Devin Hester in the punt game. That's a whole different story.
Yeah, there's not a lot of Devin Hesters. There's
no,
a few.
There's
Peterson from Arizona had an outstanding rookie year returning kicks, but there's just a few of those guys.
All right, we will continue. We'll take some questions and comments from Facebook and from the Twitterverse. Russell, but I got to get to Russell Allen's kickoff. Most of the time you hear some guy say in the sports bar, I could do better than that. But he might actually, that guy in the sports bar might have a case. Russell,
I don't know what
he was
trying to talk to Russell yet. By the way, he played very well yesterday.
Yep.
Puzlesny and Darryl Smith have been outstanding all year, both of them. But Russell filled in admirably the last few weeks.
Yep.
But I don't know what he was trying to do. If he's trying to onside kick it, kick it downfield. It was an excellent onside kick if he was trying. The only problem I have with that, see, we knew that Scobie was hurt a little bit, but I didn't know if Tampa knew. So here we are going for two-point conversions, throwing the ball, not kicking field goals. I'm like, are they going to think we're running this thing up?
Right. I had the same thought.
You know, so I think when they saw Russell out there, they finally realized, hey, you know, their kicker's hurt.
We've got a tweet from JP asking if the team is bringing in kickers for tryouts.
Yeah, we have in case he's day-to-day. I don't know if what you're
– That's exactly what Mel said.
Yeah, he's day-to-day. Should be okay, but we'll be all set. We'll be ready to go.
Just gotta be prepared, right?
Yeah, I remember there was a situation a few years ago, opening day against Tennessee. He came over and he got hurt in warm-ups. So here we are. The kicker goes down in warm-ups. And did Podlish try to kick that day?
Yeah, I believe he did. Yeah.
Whatever it was, it wasn't good. Someone had the opening kick. One of our linemen, I forget, but it was a disaster the rest of the day. And the momentum was not good going into opening day when your kicker gets hurt 10 minutes before the game.
Right, that's not a good start. All right, time now, speaking of momentum, for to announce the Scout's Eye Unsung Play. Of course, if you get this right, we'll put all the right to guesses in a hat, pull out the winner, and the winner this week will earn an autographed football signed by Gene Smith and by this week's Scout's Eye Unsung Player. And this week's Scout's Eye Unsung Player is?
Have they voted already?
All the picks are in.
Well, can you just tell me what the requirement is to be there?
Yeah, okay.
Go over that with me.
Yes,
again.
I will. The scout's eye is the
definition
guy
of
who
it.
Didn't necessarily make the big highlight play or the game-changing play that got all the attention, but the guy who made enough plays and played well and did the things that caught the scout's eye, who deserves recognition for his play.
Well, that would be Jeremy Mincy.
Ah, there you go. Yep. That's Joe Scout's Eye.
I was going to say Joe Fortunato, but people on the outside can't see his role and how dynamic it is.
That's true.
Dynamic, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
That's
a
Brian Billick word.
He works well in space, at least that little space right behind the board he works well in. So that Jeremy Mincy is this week's Scout's Eye. Boy, he took a Pro Bowl-level left tackle and took him to the cleaner several times yesterday.
Jeremy played very well. He was pushing the pocket, being relentless, and he's had a nice season for us, and he's a perfect example of what we're looking for, a guy with a relentless motor that can, you know, affect the quarterback.
All right, we've got several picks I see right now on Twitter, folks who did get Mincy in this one. So we'll contact you if you're the winner. Congratulations for those of you who got it right. Boy, he's been playing
well
this year.
Now, does everybody
win? No, only one
winner. How do you pick the one winner?
Well, we put them all in a hat, okay, and we draw them out, and the winner gets that one singular autographed football. It's a game ball. It's got a little Jaguar stamp on it. We'll show it to you in the break.
Now, did he get the most votes?
I'll go and tabulate that. Okay. He got a number.
Who else is up there?
Got Whimper.
Played well.
Montel Owens. Yep. Again, that was sort of a highlight play. Prozinski got a vote. Ubody got a vote. Duzable got a vote. Eugene Monroe. Russell Allen. Dillard. Montel Owens.
Wow.
Yeah,
they're paying attention.
Yeah,
Ashton Ubody struggled a little bit the week before, and he and Rutland both played well.
Yep.
They did not make explosive plays on the outside on us, and that was good to see. They bounced back.
All right, we'll take time out. When we come back, more comments from Terry McDonough. We'll take some of your questions and comments from Facebook and from Twitter as well. We'll jump into the gene pool and examine the cornerback position. Could be an interesting one come April. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith continues. Fans, just text BBQ to 72239. Enter for a chance to win the Sunday's Game Ball Delivery Contest. You can hand the game ball to the ref at the start of the next Jaguars home game, which is the last home game on January the 1st against the Colts. Back after this timeout right here on Jaguars Radio.
And here's a high spiraling punt. And Parker's going to grab it at the 20-yard line. And the ball's free! It's on the field! And it's going to be picked up! And it's a touchdown! Cloherty got it! Colin Cloherty grabbed it! And the guy just added to the Jaguars roster this week is in the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
And another huge hit by Montel Owens. That's the second caused fumble on the punt team for Montel Owens.
And I'll admit, that was the game-changing play, by the way. And I'll admit, I went, 83? Who's 83? I had to pull up the roster. He was just added on Friday. Talk about a guy making a quick turnaround.
Ivy League.
He was smart enough to know where he should be, right? Right place at the right time. Jaguars with a win 41-14 yesterday. Terry McDonough in here with Gene Smith traveling here on Jaguars Monday. You can win a VIP game day experience to the Jaguars-Colts game on New Year's Day. From Gate, you'll get 4 game day tickets, 4 VIP Sky Patio Lounge passes, and a limo for 4 to and from the game. Stop by your nearby Gate gas station to register. Jaguars fans, put Gate in your tailgate. All right, let's dive into the gene pool, take a look at the very DNA that makes up a position. And we're looking at the cornerback position this week. Average height by my exhaustive research. See if Terry has different numbers. 5'10", 185. And average 40 time, 4'5". Is that about what you have?
Are you looking at corners, safeties?
Corners.
Yeah, and they get faster all the time. I remember when I first started going to the combine back in the early 90s, the guy was a corner and he ran, you know, high 4.4s, 4.50, 4.5. That was a good time back then.
Now you really got to see something under 4.5, don't you?
You never saw 4.3s, other than maybe Deion Sanders, guys like that. But nowadays, the fast ones run 4.3, and that's just the training everybody's done over the last 20 years.
Are they faster as people, or are they just better at running the 40?
Both.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just everybody's getting bigger and faster. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was looking at a friend of mine played back in the 80s, and I was looking at his YouTube clip. And, I mean, these guys today are enormous compared to them, so they're getting bigger and faster.
Yeah, a little flip on ESPN Classic. Offensive linemen look like, safeties now in some regard. All right, so what's the ideal size in the NFL this day and age for a corner?
I think when you think of the typical corner, you'd like it like a Rod Woodson, someone like that, someone that's tall, lean, long arms, but they come in all shapes and sizes. Darryl Green was a great player, and he was, what, 5'8"?
Right.
Derek Cox and Rasheen are both tall. You like tall, long arm, especially with the big receivers in the league nowadays. But you're bigger, better, but you can be undersized if you're strong and competitive and quick. The one thing a corner has to have other than speed, because you do not see a lot of slow corners in the NFL, is they have to have instincts. They have to be fast, but if you can't find the ball or play the ball down the field, I think that's a lot of times where, as scouts, we miss. Guy can be big and fast, and he gets down the field, and there's a ball down there, and he can't find it. And I don't know, over the years, Joe or Cole, if you can think of anyone here, but that doesn't change. That's an innate instinct. It's almost like a receiver catching the ball. So the ability to locate and track the ball, you'd like him to tackle, though some of the great ones decided they didn't have to tackle.
Deion didn't tackle a lot.
If you can play both press and off coverage, you can match receivers down the field. Our corners, the reason why we ranked last year, I think we were 28th, other than Mel Tucker did an outstanding job. But, you know, our corners were playing exceptional when they were healthy, Derek and Rasheen. And, you know, when they went out, that was a big blow for us.
When you're looking and scouting corners, do you have to know how good that receiver is that he's going against?
You want to always watch them against their best. And sometimes, you know, smaller school guys, you have to wait till they get in the bowl game. But, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I'll go back a couple of years, and you want to see him against big, fast receivers, because a lot of times what happens is if they know they're going against a slow receiver in their conference, they'll just squat on the routes. What I mean is they'll sit down. They won't respect his speed to run by him, so then they'll jump on balls. Well, you can't do that up here. Guys can run by you. So, absolutely, you want to see him against their best. Last year, Blackman went up against the corner from Nebraska.
Prince of Amara.
Yeah, and that was an excellent matchup for both of them, for Prince and for Blackman. And, you know, people will go back and grab that tape this year when they scout Blackman and look at that tape again.
All right, as far as non-measurables, mindset, approach, what kind of a personality do you want out of a corner?
You want them tough, mean, nasty. They can't be soft. You know, you can have all the athletic ability in the world, but if you're going to let receivers affect you, because it's a mental job out there. Now, you get beat. You have to have a short memory. And if you start thinking about, oh, God, here it comes again, that's not good. Those guys never bounce back. So you have to be cocky, and you have to have a big belief in your ability to be able to. It's a very, very tough position. That's why there's not a lot of great ones, because you have to have a lot of different things. You have to have ball skills, ball awareness, toughness, tackle, turn and run, cover. It's a very tough position to play.
Harder to be a great receiver now than ever before because of the way the rules are and the passing game proliferation?
You mean a great corner? A
great corner, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. You can't touch them. I mean, after 5 yards, if you put your hands on them, they're going to call a penalty on you. So, absolutely, back when we were kids, you could knock them all over the place. But nowadays, you have to be able to stay on their hip and then make a play on the ball down the field. They know where they're going. You don't. But that's very tough. Very tough position.
All right. We wrap things up here on the Gene Pool with who is best, and whether it's the best guy you scouted at that position, best guy you ever saw, best guy you drafted, what have you. When I ask who's best in the cornerback position, who comes to mind?
Best I ever saw?
Sure.
I was 10 years old. It was 1976. My dad was a sports writer for the Boston Globe, and I used to have the worst seats in the house. It used to be Schaefer Stadium where the Patriots played. Section 316. I was the only one that wasn't drunk in that section. I mean, those guys would get hammered. And I sat there and I watched a rookie from Arizona State. I think he had about 10 interceptions that year. And he was everything I just talked about. Tall, long, fast, confident, competitive. And I don't know. Did you guys know who it is?
Mike Haynes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he was the best corner I ever saw. He could run with receivers from off, from press, and you couldn't complete balls on him. He could shut down one half of the field.
And I remember him particularly having grown up in Kansas City when he went to Oakland, and you had the Hayes and Haynes combination with Lester Hayes on the other side. That one of my early memories of a great corner tandem that you saw when those guys played.
Yeah, I had the opportunity. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, they had different styles a little bit, and Lester used to look like a bleeding pine tree with all the stickum and everything he had on the hands. But
they were tremendous. And I remember I went to Super Bowl 15 in New Orleans. I was 15 years old, and I remember those two, and they won that game. I think that was Rod Martin had 3 interceptions. Kenny King had the long touchdown. Right. They beat Philly and Ron Jaworski.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that, Joe. I forgot Joe was from Philadelphia. I'm sorry, Joe. But, no, I remember that vividly. It seemed like it was just the other day.
All right, so that is the Gene Pool as we look at the very fiber of the DNA that makes up a different player in a different position each and every week. All right, some Twitter questions and Facebook questions now. Here's one from Tim. 3 years ago, when Gene took over as GM, Terry said on the radio it would take 4 drafts to fully rebuild. Are we on target?
Yes. Yes, we are. When Gene took over, it was a complete rebuild. We had to rebuild the offensive line, the defensive line. Last year we came into it in the offseason. We said, okay, we have to rebuild the safeties and the linebackers. And we brought in Clint Session and Paul Posluszny. And then we brought in Dwight Lowry and Dwan Landry. So we feel good about that position. We feel good about what we've done on the offensive and defensive line. Obviously, we have to go out in the offseason and attack the receiver position.
All right, so that's the thing everybody says receiver. You got to get a receiver. And Joe probably has, looking at Facebook here, what, 15 or 20 questions about the receiver position?
Lots of things
And that's an easy one for people to pick up.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, a year ago they said, what, you need safeties. And you need linebackers. Mm-hmm. And we brought in Paul Posluszny, Dwight Lowry, Dwan Landry, and Clint Sessions, and that worked out.
Yep, sure did.
All four of those guys played well. You know, Clint, unfortunately, went on IR, but I feel confident we'll do the same thing with the receiver position.
Can you get the impact player looking at free agency this year at wide receiver? Can you get that impact guy, or is that somebody you have to draft?
You can get it both ways, but it's a very good year for free agency, and it's a good year for the draft, so we'll have some different options.
And, by the way, our social media questions brought to you by the good folks at CopyFax. Terry, this is from Ralph. He says, in yesterday's win, did Mel Tucker prove enough to be given consideration to be the team's head coach next year? And if not, who are your top candidates at this point?
Well, the good news is that's not my job description. So if I answered that question, that would be the first thing Gene would tell me when he sees me. So I'll leave that one to Gene and the new owner and that. But Mel will be a head coach in this league. He's a tremendous work ethic, smart, tough. Look what he did with the defense this year. I mean, again, he did not run the defense last year. This is the first year he's run the defense. And, yes, we have better players. But to go from 28th to basically fourth, I don't know where we are now, but we were fourth before all the injuries happened. I mean, the guy's done an amazing job. The players in the locker room respect him. And he's very detail-oriented. And as I said before, he learned under Nick Saban, and he learned under Jim Tressel. And he's a young, sharp guy, gets early, leaves late. He's what we call a man's man, no BS. So he will be a head coach in this league.
All right, we'll have more questions coming up here in just a bit. We'll take our final timeout, come back, take a look at the division. Also, still to come, we'll take a look forward, not too far forward, though, this week to the Atlanta game as the Jaguars take on the Falcons on Thursday night. And 8:20 kickoff there, and we'll have pregame coverage beginning at 5 o'clock right here on Jaguars Radio. Back with more Jaguars Monday right after this timeout on Jaguars Radio.
Freeman back in the pocket. Pressure coming, is hit, and the Jaguars sack him. He lost the ball, and the Jaguars have recovered it, and the defense has just scored.
What a change. Holy cow. Jeremy Mincy beating up the Pro Bowl left tackle. Donald Penn gets the initial pressure, but Mincy can't hold
him. Who got
him.
The touchdown?
Somebody causes the fumble on the second guy in.
Nate Collins comes up with it.
There's the unsung player getting it done.
Now, was that put in there because I picked him, or was that already in there?
Whatever you want it to be.
Gee, Joe, thanks.
Can't give anything too much away. Become a part of the Jaguars Advantage, the new Jaguars fan loyalty program. The Jaguars Advantage gives season ticket owners a chance to earn up to 15% cash back at hundreds of their favorite online retailers. For more information, go to jaguarsadvantage.com. All right, last few minutes as we chat with Terry McDonough, Jaguars Director of Personnel. Joe, you have another one over there?
Yeah. Actually, it's more geared toward Gene, but I know you can answer this. He says he knows, this is from Aaron, he knows Gene's a big character guy. How does character factor into assessing draft day or free agent value? If top talent is available but has obvious character concerns, how much of an impact does it have on determining if they have a place with the Jaguars?
You know, it's funny. What was it, 3 or 4, 4 or 5 years ago when we had all those guys get arrested that one? Mm-hmm. 13 guys arrested.
Yeah, that was a record almost.
Back then they were yelling, you know, what's going on here? Clean up the locker room. Since he's taken over, we've had no arrests. Now everybody says we have too good of guys. That's the latest. The guys are too good. I think people, misinterpret what we mean by character. Football character is a guy. When I talk about football character, I think, again, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Darryl Smith, Maurice Jones-Drew. Guys with tremendous love of football character. Obviously, we don't want to bring a guy in here that's going to embarrass the organization like it was embarrassed years ago. But we also understand that nobody's perfect, and guys can have past problems and fit in well here. So I think people misunderstand when we talk about character. I mean, we don't want these squeaky clean guys. That's not what wins games in the NFL. But we don't want guys that have come in here like running Jerry Porter and guys like that are going to come in here and underperform and take money.
And sometimes it's not about law, right? I mean, not about a guy running afoul of the law.
I think we want a locker room full of highly competitive, tough guys are going to win a Super Bowl. They come in all shapes and sizes, and that's what we're going to do. We are never going to hurt the football team. We're going to do what Gene is always going to do and what's in the best interest of the organization to win a Super Bowl.
All right, Terry, from Ray, where does Chris Brzezinski stand with the safeties, top, middle, bottom?
You know, Chris has been hurt a little bit this year. First, it was a hamstring. He played well. He's played well lately. You saw a lot of burst out of him the other day. Unfortunately, he hit his hand, I think, on the second touchdown when Freeman was scrambling and had an issue there. Has that been brought to light?
Yeah. Well, he wrapped it up and had
What's he listed on the injury report?
Day-to-day, I believe.
Well, Chris...
although he did come back and played.
He's a tough kid. He's had a nice year for us. He's been a little beat up, but he's played well. He had the one play where he got a little top-heavy in space and the guy ran by him, but he's had a nice year backing up, filling in, and we've been very happy with him.
All right, we continue getting ready as we approach the Thursday night game. Let's talk a little bit about Atlanta. Much better offense, certainly, than the Jaguars have faced in a couple of weeks. When they're going, boy, they really look good. Matt Ryan and Julio Jones complimenting Roddy White. You got Tony Gonzalez still there, Michael Turner. If you're a fantasy football guy, and I'm not, but if you know all those names, all those guys have put up big numbers either this year or in the past or both.
I don't know anything about fantasy football other than I have a priest I know back home that actually buried my aunt last week, and I was talking to him, and he called me up to congratulate me on the win. He said, "I got an issue." I said, "What is it, Father?" He said, "Well, I have Matt Ryan on my fantasy team." So I said, "What are you going to do? Are you going to bench him?" And he said, "No." So I said, "That means you're not going to root for us." And he said, "Yeah."
Uh-oh.
So I'm like, "Okay, well, thanks, Father." So obviously fantasy football is a lot more important than I am. But
those are the skill position players.
Yeah, no, this is going to be a big test for our defense, again, because we're playing young corners, Rutland and Yabody. And a couple weeks ago we played San Diego with an explosive offense. So it's a test. It's a short week for us going up there. But one thing I do know is Mel will have them ready to go.
How is Rutland coming along?
Played really well. He played well. He's done a nice job for us. For a guy that we got undrafted out of Missouri, he's playing very well for us.
Got a bunch of Missouri guys. I'm not sure I like all that Missouri action.
It's big school, so I know some of the fans out there
would
be happy.
That's true. You got a lot of folks who don't like the small school stuff.
What's your
response to that when you get that?
I think people think we purposely try to draft small school players, and we don't. If you look at the small school players, small school players we've drafted, they've played well. The one exception, Larry Hart wasn't what we thought he was, but he was a fifth-round pick. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the 10 or 15 guys picked on either side of Larry Hart, I don't think a lot of those guys are in the league either. A lot of those small school players have played well. Listen, if you have conviction and courage to what you believe in, you're going to put the players in order and pick them regardless of where they're from. The other thing with that I want to say is, and it's been brought up before, there are a lot of high picks around here in the SEC that aren't with us any longer. So as long as you pick the right players, you coach them, you give them time to develop, and they are what you thought they were, then they'll pan out. And I'm very happy with a lot of the small school guys we've got around here. But we don't purposely do that. We take the next best player on the list.
You usually don't find those small school players in the top 10, top 20.
Usually you're talking about second, third rare. I think a lot of times – the big school players run out, and you're sitting there in the third, fourth, and fifth round. If you look in the Hall of Fame or you look in the Pro Bowl every year, it's littered with small school guys. But that's been a theme around here lately. But we don't do that on purpose, and we just take the next best player, how he's going to fit in with the Jaguars. But the other thing is we're not afraid to take a guy if we think he can help, and a lot of those guys have played well.
Yeah, they really have. All right, Thursday night, Jaguars will take on the Atlanta Falcons. Of course, Mike Smith, who had a bit of a scare, by the way, thought he might have had a heart attack, and it turned out it was a stress-related thing. But it was a stressful game as they came back to beat Carolina, and the former Jaguars defensive coordinator has the Falcons in line to make a run at the playoffs. Jaguars, by the way, Texans have clinched the AFC South officially with their win. They're 10-3 after beating Cincinnati 20-19 with T.J. Yates at quarterback. Titans at 7-6, Jaguars at 4-9, looking to make a run here at the end of the year and get a little momentum heading toward 2012. Terry, thanks for popping in and filling in for Gene.
Thanks a lot, Joe, for having me. Being here. Thanks,
Joe Fortunato, for Terry McDonough. Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening. Tomorrow night, Jaguars Coaches Show with Mel Tucker. Then on Wednesday, I'll be back hosting Jaguars This Week. Tony Boselli's going to join me, and we'll have the latest from the owners' meeting as well as the confirmation of Shad Khan as a new owner comes through on Wednesday. Thanks for listening to Jaguars Monday, and good night from Jaguar Central.